just a ride. Whoa, oh, it's just a ride.
Let's fucking go.
Let's go.
It's Jar 93.
93. Zoo FM.
We can't be stopped. We just keep doing this, whether you like it or not.
We think that we're going to do a shorty this day.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to do a little short spurt of a ride.
See how that goes.
We'll see how that goes.
We're going to, ride, it's more of a jaunt.
We only get to see each other once a week these days, so it's nice to see you. And
what's up, man?
I'm not trying to rush it, but I know that the energy level of the three of us collectively, we've been working pretty hard the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think all three of us put together don't quite equal one normal functional person. Yeah.
This coffee's doing its best.
Well said.
We're duct taped like, three wheels on a truck. It's duct taped together.
But I do know that out of all the people that I know, the three of us are probably the reigning champions of manufacturing energy, even when there is none.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure how. I wonder where that comes from.
Because I have a theory about that.
I'd like to hear it, because the three of us have done it so many times over the years where we're dragging ass. We're literally half dead. And the moment somebody, I'm talking about shows, the moment we're supposed to be on, somehow.
You're talking about music?
Yeah. Well, we're able to drag energy from somewhere, not even sure where it comes from.
Music is magic.
I have a theory about that shit. Mm. I think that it's like a line of credit.
Oh.
I think like,
oh shit, I don't want
to
hear this.
You're like, oh, I'm out of energy right now, but I need energy. Like, I have to get this thing done.
And we're taking it off the end of our life.
I need to do this. Yeah. So it's just like, I think you're like borrowing against the future. You're like, all right, I'll take future me's energy.
Oh.
And then like, and I'm not even necessarily saying like the end of your life, but like, you know, you have those days where you're just like, I fucking cannot even.
Yeah.
For no real reason, but I cannot, like, I was like, I need to eat today. That's a thing that I need to do as a human being. Uh-huh. I can't even fucking move myself to go and take care of that.
Yeah. You're like, I'm sick of that shit.
And you're like, I usually sleep like not much more than 6 hours a night. Like, that's like a full night's sleep for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like every once in a while where I go to sleep and my body's like, fuck you, coma, 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
What happened? What happened?
Where am I?
I get that too.
How many centuries has it been?
So
I feel like that's the balancing point on the scales for when you just pull energy out of your ass when you have none.
Yeah.
Is like you're just putting it in the bank for days like that where it's like, get fucked. Remember that time you did the thing?
Dude.
We're back, bitch.
You just reminded me of something. I'm looking at the shovel cock just in case, but you guys check this out. But according to a random internet person, they were talking about name a old musician or an old athlete. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, you can name a few. There's some outliers, of course, Rolling Stones, etc. But a lot of people that use that energy and that like tour for 300 days or some shit, they don't go till, you don't see them at 85.
They
walking
burn
around.
Out quick.
Yeah. And athletes, I mean, fuck, they don't, I mean, your career is like a 5-year thing, if that, and you know, you end up with CTE or some shit and you're dead at 55.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. But I mean, is it stupid to do that? To
burn brightly?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I know.
It's a pretty light to burn the candle at both ends.
It does.
A nice bright light.
I think my brain is processing your theory right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a tendency, I'm leaning towards agreeing with you because...
Lean on in.
And those,
scooch on over here.
In those show times and those weekends that we've done and, you know, the stuff that we've done, I have, in reflection, I found that the following week has been difficult. And it's not just for it's not motivation. It's I feel heavy, if that makes any sense. You know when you get fatigued and your brain is still doing its thing, but your body is fatigued so much that you actually feel like you weigh more.
Oh, yeah. I feel that right now.
And when you go to move, you feel like the atmosphere is pushing against
heavier,
you even more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because at my age, I will go on these, because I have had sleep challenges for pretty much my whole adult life.
Yeah.
But I'll go through these episodes where I'll have a sleep issue. And when I finally overcome that sleep issue, I'm tired. And I'm tired for a week, sometimes 2 weeks after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not mentally tired. It's a physical fatigue where I'm pushing through a very thick atmosphere throughout the day, and it's difficult to move. And
I have a theory on that.
I get that mentally too sometimes.
Sometimes I do too. Yeah,
where it's just like, oh, my brain is molasses. Why? Yes. I can't fucking engage with anything.
Well, think about, like, none of us do hard drugs, or at least we don't know that we do. You guys might not know.
I'll never tell.
But
I drink coffee. That's what I drink.
But you have done hard drugs. So you guys,
wait, depends. Does heroin count as a hard drug?
No.
God damn it, Shane.
All right. Fucking, that's like over the counter stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. If you've got a sad foot, they give you heroin, bro. Yeah, yeah.
Your foot is sad. Your foot is Here's some H.
It's just a little opium. Yeah. What's a little opium between friends?
You know, the pharmacist back in the day, they had a pretty cool job. They're like, here's something that's going to fuck you the fuck up. You're going to enjoy
it. You got ghosts in your blood. You should do heroin. Yeah.
You got a headache? You ever heard of laudanum?
Exactly. Laudanum, dude. Mm-hmm. It's liquid heroin. Yum, yum, yum.
Cures the vapors.
But my theory is that, I mean, it's a joy to entertain you folk. Like, that's been what I've tried to do my whole life, is just like, hey, I want to bring something that you might like to hear, or some laughter or something into your life. But then the energy of, because I've been lucky my whole life, like I haven't played a shitload of shows outside of my region, but almost every show I've played, minus the acoustic shows, has been like high energy, packed, just a blast. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, I've done some hard drugs, and there's nothing, nothing like playing, even if it's to 20 people that are into it, like playing the Central Saloon. It wasn't packed, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was. And the energy that I put out, you know, I told you guys, I sing to my mom. Mm-hmm.
Like, we had a whole gang of furries come in and rock.
I was going to say, that was the furry night. Furries, that was fun.
That made it awesome. But we're basically doing like multitudes of heroin when we get on stage, and you get that energy flow wherever it comes from us initially. It's for the songs or whatever. It's just the adrenaline of like, oh, fuck, don't fuck up. Are we in tune? And then you give them the energy, and they give it back, and you give it to them. And by the time it's going back and forth like fucking ping pong, at the end you're just, everybody, I mean, I don't know how the crowd, I mean, I've been in a lot of cool shows, but it's nothing like being on stage where it's like, dude, that just came through me. Like, I had nothing, hardly anything to do with me. I may have come out, the noises came out of my mouth, but it was just, you feel like a conduit. And by the time you're done, I mean, you guys, you've seen Shaden and me, and all three of us when we perform. Like, I'll just lay down, drenched in sweat, and it's done. And then when I go home, it's like, let's go to Jack in the Box, and then I'm just going to die. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, it's like I get a
hangover from that shit.
I've
talked about having show hangovers so many times, and it wasn't because I drank a bunch at the show. It's just like I could have been stone sober.
Yeah.
But that energy exchange, you're just like, whoo.
Boy,
okay, you know, I want to sit alone on my couch and eat something greasy.
So we're basically like crack addicts.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, it's really interesting.
It's good to take a little break, I guess, this year. We're taking a break from crack.
It's interesting. This is, what I'm going to say does have to do with energy levels, but not as much. I have never in my life experienced a connection with people like I have. And I just made that. My brain just went bing. I've never experienced a connection with people like I have until you guys, we all came together and started performing together. There's something to be said about being on stage with other individuals who are working towards the same goal and entertaining and putting every bit of your energy out there for the people that you're looking at who are enjoying what you're doing.
Having the confidence.
There's nothing like that. And it's my point is that is like nothing I've experienced, but it's not about that. It's the connection that I've experienced with you guys. Because we're all doing this together and we're linked together and we're working towards a common goal. And we're, of course, it's fun too. But it's a connection. It's a fear connection. It's a powerful connection, but it's also an energetic one where you're just like almost drunk. It's hard to explain. It's drunk with energy. with adrenaline and shit. And when you're up there and I'm drunk and you're drunk and you're drunk and we're looking at looking each other in the eye and somebody plays a wrong note or, you know, maybe misses a beat and we're like, both of us are making an eye connection. We're like, yeah, we heard that. Did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that too. We're not saying that, but it's, you know, but then you look out at the audience and they're just losing their shit dancing and having fun and giving that energy back.
There's something
to be said about that.
Yeah, there's something special about. Have you tried heroin?
Well, you know, there's differences between heroin. And I've played in lots of bands, and I've played with amazing musicians, and I've loved every band I've been in. But Sovereign is this magical, like, super oiled machine. So whenever I get to do that drug, it's like, this is black tar. Well, I don't know if that's good or not. It's the best heroin injected into your butthole, you know, while they rub your feet or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it feels, I mean, everyone is so good in the band as far as their musicianship and stuff. So every time I step on that stage, it's not, I never once am like, oh boy, I hope we figure this out. I hope this changes that.
Exactly.
It's always like, I hope these people are ready for what we're going to give them and I hope they like it. But we're going to give them something that's like well-oiled, fucking well-rehearsed.
Well, it is a little different for me because I'm not playing music. You know, I am wondering, am I going to fall?
Especially since we never know what stage you're going to be on until we get there.
Am I going to like fall down and light my hair on fire? Speaking of, dear listeners, did you folks know that I have no eyebrows?
She burned them off.
I have little eyebrows in the very center of my face. But everything from like the arch, just inside the arch, out towards my ears is gone. And it's because we had a night. I had eyebrows, and then we had a night of performing.
Beautiful eyebrows.
And I ended up, the flames licked both sides of my face a little close than it should have. And I haven't had eyebrows since. They've never grown back.
And I've been confused as to what emotion's coming at me for ever since that night.
So, and it's really funny because...
Your eyebrow privileges have been revoked.
They were. Now it rains
right in your eyes.
They were. I don't have to pluck them anymore, so that's good. The challenge is I have noticed that... My loved ones and my friends, they look at me differently and they react to me differently when I put my eyebrows on. So if I pencil them in, my communication between people, the communication that I receive back is definitely different. So there is something to be said.
There's a reason why we evolved to have eyebrows.
Yeah. They're emotive. They're expressive. And I think people think that I'm either deadpan.
I think you're pissed at me right now.
Because I don't have my eyebrows on. But there is something to be said about that conversation between cats and dogs. Why is it that, you know, dogs are more expressive?
Because of the eyebrows,
because cats don't have eyebrows.
George Carlin pointed that out
and
to all of us.
And that's a very interesting thing. I have to agree. I think cats do have emotions, and they don't have eyebrows, so you don't know they have emotions.
Well, they got that shit coming out, where it's just like a little cactus.
They don't know how to communicate with you because, you know, you don't know what they're feeling because they don't show their expressions on their faces.
When they knock your glass over right in front of you, and then they look right in your eyes.
Fuck that and fuck that,
that's
too.
That's them communicating.
Lucy did that to me the other night. Yeah. Knocked my water over, looked right at me, and was like, in the eye. She's looking me in the eye. And I glanced up at her, and I'm trying to do programming right on the computer. Well, Steam Deck. And she looked right at me in the eye and was pissed at me. And she reached over while maintaining eye contact and said, fuck this bottle of water, and knocked that shit over. Good thing I had the lid on it.
Which is rare, as we discussed on BBC.
Anyways, moving on.
No.
I totally just went off on that little thing. I don't have eyebrows. The cat knocked my water over and she had no emotion when she did it. But
you know, a lot of people, they'll leave sweat on the stage. They'll leave
a little bit of their soul.
You left a little bit of some human face fur.
I left burnt hair everywhere we went.
We did kind of leave.
I left feathers everywhere.
Yeah, you did.
I molt constantly.
Mm. We did put a lot of, we played a lot of weird shows, that's for sure. And you're right, it was, we had to summon energy because traveling in the Northwest is unique for, it's probably the toughest place
unique.
To really push.
I love the way you put that. It sounds so benign. It's very unique, right?
It's very politic of you.
Well, we've talked about it a lot. If you live in Philadelphia, you can drive in any direction 50 miles and you'll hit a giant population center and you'll be able to play to new clubs everywhere. You know, if you live in Seattle, you've got Vancouver, Portland, and if you want to include Spokane, you can, but it's 6 hours away or five or whatever it is.
Right.
And
we're an island.
I wouldn't trade it, though.
I know. Fuck no.
I love having my home base here. I've been all over the United States, and a decent chunk of Canada, and this is still where I'd rather have my home base. Like, amen. Even with the challenges that come along with it, this place kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons.
But that's why we're tired.
There's shit like there is everywhere. But
that is why we're tired. We just traveled for 4.5 hours to the closest location.
Yeah.
And we're tired now. But now it's time to get into costume and perform.
Right. We've all slept on a bus.
Yep.
And the bus is a little less comfortable than you would think.
A little bit.
Because it's...
Yeah.
It wasn't designed for the purposes that we had it. Dude, it was awesome though.
Yeah.
But it was...
We started this conversation with energy levels because the three of us are low this week. And respectively, we're low for different reasons. I don't know why I am. I only stayed up late one night, and six nights of those seven, I went to bed before midnight.
You've been coding? I don't know. That seems like that'd suck the life out of me.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't suck the life out of me. I find it fascinating.
I'm glad. That means that we'll have a video game in the next year or two.
I love being able to type shit in and have stuff do things. That's pretty rad. But I know that I've gone to bed before midnight most nights in the last 7 days, except for one night where Lucy, you know, fucked up my water and I was trying to figure stuff out because I'd be damned if I'm going to let some fucking computer program kick my ass.
Well, we were talking about partly the issue before we started doing the show. We were talking about just eating and health in general.
That's right.
And I've noticed that. You know, for all the gas station burrito jokes, like the unhealthy way that I eat is the 100% reason why I feel bad, why I have a worse attitude than I would, why I'm not at my peak mentally, why I might have some like skin blemishes or issues, itchy stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All the digestive issues from heartburn down to shitting myself in the mornings, all that comes from fucking choosing to eat like a kid, basically, like... When my parents told me, like, eat vegetables and all that stuff, I did, reluctantly. And I learned the lesson poorly, where as soon as I became an adult, I'm like, so I guess it's McDonald's for every meal for this fucking guy. And, you know, dumb. And
right.
And now I reap the whirlwind of that. So I get heartburn, like, if I smell a bread, you know, I'm like, well, that hurts. But
you do
the
it
last
every-
couple of years, I made a big life change. And with that, I just kind of stopped eating all of that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started kind of doing... only things that I knew where it was coming from kind of thing. Basically, eat the bugs. I've just been eating bugs. Drinking bugs. But that difference has been, like, my energy levels through the roof through the last couple of years. I wake up without wanting to kill all of you.
That's a feat within itself.
Which is just ridiculously new to me. No. But no, my attitude doesn't fluctuate. Mm-hmm. You know, your attitude has a lot to do with insulin and where you're at with sugar and where your body is that in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's now, where hangriness comes from is...
Yeah, your
just
candida or whatever?
It's just... No, actually, the hangriness is the dip in your... It's a dip in your sugar, your blood sugar, where you're
literally... It's not those little fuckers in your stomach being like, give me shit now!
Our body is so symbiotic. Everything works together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when your blood sugar dips below where it's supposed to be, you start to get a little shaky, you get a little weak, you get a little irritated, agitated, sometimes a little bit of anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it all comes from your body going, you need to eat something now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the hangriness comes in.
I think my cortisol levels have been fucked recently.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a shitload about it. I just know that... cortisol tends to elevate at night, and that if your cortisol is too high, it causes things like what I've been experiencing for like a couple of months, where I'll be laying down, like I'll be fucking tired. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And normal nights, I don't have much trouble falling asleep. I used to for years and years and years, but I'm pretty much can just lay down and take a few deep breaths and start letting my mind drift, and then next thing I know, I'm dreaming. You know, it's like a normal night. But for the last few months, couple months, I guess, I'll be like laying there and I'll just start to fall asleep, and then like my heart will jump.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like stressed out. I'm like, why the fuck did that just happen?
Yeah.
And then I can't, you know, I have to like systematically calm myself back down, and then I'm about to drift off again. It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, yeah. I literally wasted like 2 hours on the doing that bullshit one night last week. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
It's amazing that we don't have anxiety all the time, though, to be honest.
I do.
Well, yeah, but I think it's the default. I mean, what? Yeah. How could you not be if you think about any aspect of the world that's out of your control? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh.
Right.
I'm at the mercy of the present, and the present isn't what I'm in control of.
Yeah, but what should be alleviating the anxiety is understanding that you should feel it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's understanding that, yeah, of course
that's
you're anxious.
That's what it feels like to be alive, is
of
to be anxious.
Of course you're anxious.
Nervous and
paranoid. And understanding that 147% of the population is anxious because it is just human.
Yeah.
And understanding that, as unpleasant as it is, makes it so that the anxiety will begin to subside because you don't think you're a fucking weirdo because you have anxiety anymore.
Do you guys, be thankful for your pain.
Do you know what I mean?
It means you're still alive.
Yeah, you're experiencing it. Do you think maybe that's why? So there's a lot of people that have like a natural pushback to stoicism where they hear that shit. I remember you posted a stoic quote a long time ago.
Oh, God.
And somebody from our music community just went at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you have no heart and you don't have no compassion. It was like, that's not it at all what that is.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it.
I mean,
it,
sidebar,
like,
I don't, but that's not like,
I truly don't give a fuck at all. But,
especially not about you in this moment. But
the sentiment was meant to be.
Right. It was meant to be, it was meant to bring light into somebody's life.
Yeah.
Whoever read it to, you know, calm down a little bit. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all in this together type thing. And yeah this person just lost their shit.
That's the internet in a nutshell, man. I made years ago a post on Facebook, which I even when I was like going on Facebook more regularly, I still rarely made posts that weren't like promoting music or you know, that kind of shit. But every once in a while I'd be like, I'm having a thought and I need to shout it into the void. So Facebook was my medium for that every now and again. And I made this post that, it was kind of lengthy, but the
pretty good post back in the day.
The essence of it, I mean, it didn't always go bad either. Like, I had some good conversations. I actually had a dude that I worked with come up to me the next day after I posted something like that. I didn't even know that he followed me on Facebook, and he was like, dude, I wanted to tell you that thing you posted on Facebook, like, I fucking really needed to hear that. Like, that was super helpful. I was like, really?
You had a bunch of those.
He was like, yeah, dude, thanks. I was like, you're welcome. I was just getting it out. But
I remember when you joined the band and you were like, I'm going to be an owl. I was like, that is the most fitting shit. And it was me thinking about all that stuff I'd read from what you posted.
Because he's quiet enough to sneak up on you and he turns his head all the way around.
And you know,
it makes
a lot
perfect
of
sense.
Meat.
But my point, what I was trying to get to was I made this post that essentially the essence of it was, don't let anybody pressure you into making snap decisions on things that you haven't gotten a chance to understand yet. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, like, here's a little bit of information. You need to decide what side of it, of the issue you're on right now.
Nope.
And it's, I'm like, don't. Like, you don't have, nobody has a right to make you feel obligated to do that.
And you don't have to have an opinion immediately.
Not only is it perfectly fine for you to say, I don't know enough about that, I'm going to go look into it, and then I'll let you know if I want to talk about it. I think that's wise, you know? And, like, that was the whole essence of the post, and I had a fucking gang of people on there that, like, you fucking bootlicker, if you're not doing something, you're part of the problem, and fuck you. Like, you're not a safe person to be around. I was like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you extrapolated from that? That is wild.
I made a post that caused a whole shitstorm. This was a handful of years ago, and I never took it down. I left it up. Kept it public.
I'm trying to think of what it was.
Oh, I've never taken any posts down. Yeah. Even the ones like
never
that. I'm just like, whatever.
Well, and it's because
you're you. What are you going to do?
If part of the reason why is because that's how I was feeling at that time. And to this day, I still feel the same way. So it's remained. And even if I changed and I felt differently, that means I've grown and I've evolved as a person. That doesn't mean I should hide where I was at one point.
Yeah.
It just means that, you know, that, oh, yeah, that was 5 years ago. That was me 5 years ago, you know?
I've had to grapple with that after hosting a conspiracy show.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that was what the way I thought.
But that was where you were at the time.
Yeah, I was 25 years old.
But the post that I made, the whole point of the post was, I do not feel oppressed as a woman in this society.
Mm-hmm.
I do not feel like I'm being oppressed because I'm a female.
We got to try harder, Zach.
And that was
we're not doing our patriarchal duty.
I'm not a good patriarch.
It was a whole long spiel. But it was for those individuals, those other ladies out there that also don't feel oppressed. They don't need to feel pressured to agree to the, to, you know, succumbing to this, yeah, oh yeah, this life that I have sucks because I have boobs. Yes, I've experienced sexism in my life, but I don't feel like my entire existence here is under the boot of a man. And that's something that I wanted out there at the time. And I cannot believe the absolute hate that I received from the women on Facebook.
Well, it goes
they
against
were
what,
so
what they're being taught.
Mad ruining
at
our
me.
Crusade.
Yes, they were so mad at me. And I was like, I don't, I'm sorry you feel that way.
They make a lot of assumptions about the world that isn't true a lot of times.
Well, the
when
challenge,
we're talking about what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, the challenge is with it
they're
was
very angry about
they're these females are crusading ahead and they're speaking for me. And I don't want them speaking for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't agree with what they have to say, then they turn on you and they're angry.
Remember those kids in school?
Yeah.
It's just that.
And I know. Yeah. And that was the point.
But they have political power now.
Well, that was the point that I was making, is that there's this whole movement out there that I don't agree with, and they're speaking for me and they're making changes and doing this stuff for me.
Yeah, there's a lot
type
of
thing, and I don't agree with it.
There's a lot of nuance to all that shit too. Mm-hmm. I mean, with everything, but like,
yeah.
I consider myself to be pretty classically masculine in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Not in like a, you know, knuckle dragging idiot kind of way,
right.
But in like a, like I strive to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of, like, if I ever say I'm a man, mm-hmm. I'm proud of it,
right.
You know, because it's something I worked really hard to be. I think there's a shitload of guys in the world that never actually grow to be men. They just spend their whole life being boys,
yeah,
masquerading as men. But like, I think part of the reason I'm really secure in saying that about myself is that, like, I think a quintessential part of being a real man. A real man.
Real man.
According
there
to me.
There were air quotes.
Whatever. What do I know? But I think a quintessential part of being a man is taking joy from empowering the women in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I hope that the women in my life have felt that way, because I strive for that. I'm like, you know, you can do whatever the fuck you, if you want to do it, I want to help you do it. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see you be able to do that. I don't want to do it for you, but I'd like to help you. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to fucking make sure that you're able to do that, you
right.
know, and I want to hear what you have to say. I want your insight, because you have perspective that I don't,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. and that I never will, because I'm not a woman.
Yeah, you know? That's super.
Well, and that's one of those things that, you know, I worked really hard at accepting the fact that I'm a woman. Because there was a period in my life where I didn't want, it's probably going to come off strange, but I remember being a teenager.
That's weird.
A preteen. And I hit puberty pretty early.
Yeah, you're the same.
And so I was the only girl in my class who had to wear a bra. And so I was attracting attention, and I was considered a quote unquote tomboy even before all of this. But I started attracting different attention from my male peers, and it made me very uncomfortable. They didn't treat me the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, in hindsight, now as an adult, I probably made them uncomfortable because I was triggering stuff
they're
in
like,
them that they're
yeah,
like,
dude,
what the hell?
What do I do with this
boys,
feeling?
Boys
in
don't know
loins.
What to do with that, man.
Right.
I still remember the name of a girl in like fourth grade that was like the first girl my age that I had ever seen that had boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what?
What?
Seriously?
Exactly.
I can't even talk to you. What's going on? What are you doing to me right now?
Yeah.
So there was a period during my, you know, growing up where I hated the fact that I was treated differently because of my body. And
you grew up also like, I don't want to throw your dad under the bus, but we've done that plenty. But he wanted a boy.
Yeah. Toss him under there.
Yeah, and he treated you like a hard ass boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, machine shop, you have to build your car before you can drive it, that kind of shit. Yeah.
I was treated very, very boyish, I guess. And I acted very boyish, I guess. I don't know. I was just me. And so it was a difficult challenge to overcome, knowing that I'm a girl. I have girl parts. And I either need to be vindictive and hateful for the rest of my life because I have girl parts, or I need to understand the girl parts that I have and embrace them. And it I ended up having a daughter, and then I had a son, and of course there was a challenge there, just because I was still, of course I'm a mother, but I was still hateful towards the men in my life because of the way they treated me because I was a woman. Mm-hmm. And so I did go through this weird transition.
And you did have some bad examples and men in your life,
I was
too.
Surrounded by some bad examples of men.
Yeah.
Because like attracts like. And when you have a collection of bad men in your life, mm-hmm. they also attract bad men.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have any really good men in my life. And then you and I got together. And I realized that not all men are what I've experienced for the past 35 years of my life. And you showed me that. And you brought good men into my yeah. life. And I was expecting the other shoe to fall. Shaden, you're one of them.
Yeah.
And I expected the other shoe to fall consistently.
Sorry to my mom.
But it never did. And these men that are in my life now are good men. Mm-hmm. And I would be lying if I didn't say, there are times where I'm waiting for the bad to come out.
Sure.
Because it's pre-programmed.
We're all monsters.
It's pre-programmed.
Monster, yeah.
But it doesn't.
I think good men have a truly monstrous capacity for evil.
You should have seen what I did to my Nintendo Entertainment System. We talked about it. Fucking thing. Fuck, it sucks.
Right.
We'll do it live.
But with all of that said, there is this weird roller coaster of challenges that we've all experienced in our lives, whether it pertains to understanding our place on this planet, understanding the body we were born in, understanding the chemical challenges we have in our brain that might be different than somebody else. We've all gone through random shit, but it's all connected. We're all in this together, right? So I've gone through this weird roller coaster of challenges, and I've come to a place now in middle age where I love being a woman. I really do. And I'm not giving up the fact that I can go out there and change the oil in my car. I'm choosing not to because I don't want to.
Right.
You know, I can do it. I just don't want to do it.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And I shouldn't feel pressured.
No.
And I shouldn't be shamed because I want to go down to Pennzoil and have them do it.
Right.
You yeah. know, I shouldn't be looked down upon because some younger guy is changing the oil in my car.
You're helping
for
the
me.
Economy roll, baby.
You know, instead of doing it myself. Now, 20-year-old me would think that way.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I'm not having some guy change my oil. I'm doing it myself. Mm-hmm. And I did. But now I'm like, I can be having some 20-year-old change the oil in my car because I can.
Yeah.
yeah. Sure. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So I don't feel oppressed as a woman.
I think the core of that...
that was the whole point.
I think the core of that is very universal, and it's something that's perhaps not talked about enough, but you... a couple of things that I heard listening to your tale
mm-hmm.
is you had... first of all, every reason that you could, you were spoiled for choice when it came to reasons to resent men.
Mm. Big mm-hmm. time. Yeah.
And, yes, I was.
And eventually you
That's
chose,
a good way to put
you,
that, and, spoiled and, for choice. Yeah, I like that.
And you eventually chose to work and overcome that
mm-hmm.
as it pertained to the men in your life. And, you know, you had options there, which is good. Some people just are surrounded by shitty people
right.
their whole life.
They
you
have
know?
No
so,
idea
yeah,
that
like,
there's
I mean,
other
yeah,
shit out there.
You
yeah.
probably didn't stand a chance. But so that's, excuse me, aspect number one. And then aspect number two is you successfully made the evolution from what you were expected to be to who you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And you became comfortable with like, well, I'm secure in my abilities, but I don't have to take that role.
Right.
And I don't have to feel guilty for choosing not to take that role.
Yes.
You know, so, and that's, I think that is, I resonate with that a lot because like I had, like you, on the mm-hmm. flip side of the coin, I was, again, spoiled for choice.
Mm-hmm.
when it came to reasons to resent women.
Yes.
You know, my biological mom was very often terrible to me and mm-hmm. in very damaging ways. And I had a long period of my life where I just attracted psychotic women that mm-hmm. wanted to use me for one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I still chose to overcome that, which is not, it wasn't like, I'm just not going to let it bother me. Like it was a fucking lot of work I had to
yeah.
do,
oh, of
you
course.
Know, but
I hear you on that,
but I managed to get to a point where I treasure women as long as they are respectful to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like if we can build a mutual respect, then some of the best fucking people in my life are women. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would have missed out on all that if I hadn't done that work to, you know, like you, become comfortable with who I am and embrace it and decide what I do and don't want to adhere to for myself. Right. And also choose not to take the easy route of just resenting an entire group of people just based off of shit that happened to me.
That's, you know? And that's where I was for quite some time was I had labeled any human being that was born with a penis as dangerous and hurtful and controlling. And I did go through that period where that's how I saw it because that's all I was exposed to. So literally all of my experiences were a variation of control, manipulation, and cruelty in one way or another. So
you were kind of kept in a bubble from, you know, not being able to socialize a lot, not getting a lot of cultural influences, going to private school.
Right.
And then having a job like the moment you could turn a wrench.
Eight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
under those circumstances, I was, from my worldview and my personal experiences, that's all I had to pull from those experiences. That was my view. And as my horizons broadened and I grew and I moved out of the house, you know, and I became an adult, I was still attracting that type of, that caliber of human. Mm-hmm. I was also surrounded by that caliber of human because of friends and family. And so I was not having those good experiences. And whenever anybody would, you know, talk about men in general, I just had a bad taste in my mouth. I don't know. I don't want to get on that tangent. The thing was, when I met you, you brought a different caliber of man into my life because you brought yourself into my life. And along with you, behind you is a whole league of other really good men.
I'm a dime a dozen. Yeah.
Really? No, there's, really, there's really good. So good there's a, there. There's a whole, you know, little army of really good men that
I have good folk in my circle.
Yes, yeah, you sure. do. And so, of course, you came into my life and I'm like, he's lying to me.
I would imagine
he's lying to me.
The trust thing was a minute.
8 years.
Yeah.
It was 8 years before something clicked in my brain and I was like, oh.
It's been 8 years. He's not going to do it. If he was going to do something awful, it was going to be a long time ago.
Listen, dear listeners, 8 years of marriage before I trusted this man.
I remember the moment too because we had the discussion where it's like, oh, he finally
it's still coming. He's just a real champ at the long game.
Yeah, I'm long game as fuck. I'll be in my rocking chair.
Got you, bitch.
You know, so.
Might have waited a little too long. Yeah, how am I back? Fuck.
You really towed the line and you worked really fucking hard for 8 years consistently to prove to me that you were not going to hurt me.
Well, that's the same as a step parent. Like, I was doing that with our kids too, because our son especially, because the divorce at the time for you guys was at a weird age for any kid and stuff.
Of course.
And so that was weird for him. And I could tell from the moment I met him, it was like, that kid's not going to like this at all. He's not going to, and he just didn't trust me.
Right.
Because he was like, he'd seen other men and stuff, not like you were dating a lot or something, but he just.
No, I had a lot of men, not dating, not romantic partners.
People
but
that
I
wanted
had,
to step in.
I had a lot of men in my life just because of the life that I led, you know, friends and family.
Yeah.
I was one of the only girls in my family. There was me and Victoria. The rest of them were all boys.
Yeah.
So,
he was waiting for me to act in a way that some of those other men had been to him. And he just kept waiting, and I could see it in his eyes where he's like you said, when's this shoe going to drop?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like that moment with you and that moment with him where he's like, it's not.
Yeah.
He actually loves me.
He's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a cool moment because from that moment on, I mean, he's like one of my greatest allies that could ever exist in the earth. Like having a friendship with the people you've raised, whether you're biological or not, it's one of the greatest friendships that there is. And it's amazing if you can have that adult relationship with your kids. It's insane.
Well, you know what? And going into the relationship, going into our relationship, but just moving forward in my life, I was wearing a lot of armor and it was really heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it took.
It wasn't baggage. It was armor.
It was armor.
No shit.
I didn't have baggage.
It's a great
I had
way
fucking
to put
armor.
It. I like
and
that.
So
what a poetic fucking episode you guys have over, brought this day.
Over time, I was able to drop pieces. You know, and the last thing I dropped was my weapons. And it was really kind of interesting because I'd lose pieces of the armor and the last thing to drop was my sword. Mm. And in that moment, it was I realized that you had softened me. Mm. And you encouraged the joy out of me instead of me constantly fighting, constantly being combative. And it's not that I was verbally combative, but in my mind I was. I was always wondering and analyzing and you know, putting the puzzle pieces together and looking for the chinks and mm-hmm. this constant, it was like risk in my head all the time. But instead of players on a board, it was just life and the people in my world. But I was able to...
Is John going to try and invade Susan?
Yes. It was a very weird, weird game in my head that I had to play in order just to keep moving. But... at some point, I was able to calm down because I had a partner. I had a friend, a real friend for the first time in my life. Somebody who didn't want anything from me, who just was...
Fly, bitch, fly.
Yes, mm. Who was lifting me up. And I didn't trust that either. I'm like, does he mean it? Does he really mean he, like, does he mean it? You know?
Is if I start flying, is he going
to
shoot at me?
I know. is he trying to build me up so he can tear me apart and watch me cry? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, as a kid totally who did. Built extravagant Lego things just to knock them down, it's,
yeah.
You never know.
Right, yeah, right. I mean, I was never the destructive kid. I would build elaborate things and then enjoy them. You know, I never wanted to tear them down.
I'd enjoy them for like an hour. and then I'd thoroughly enjoy fucking destroying them.
Yeah. I was that way too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I got on this whole tangent.
That shit can linger though.
It was nice about me, so I'm glad.
That shit can linger in really strange nooks and crannies inside of you, mm-hmm. and it's weird when they come out. I've had some of that too, because like I mentioned, because of my experiences with women going all the way back to when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I sort of, for a large portion of my life, kind of viewed women in general as just this like shit show that I was gonna have to decide if I wanted to manage and that it was gonna very likely emotionally damage me in some way. Like that was just sort of my
emotional like, damage.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Internet provides.
Yep. Thank you, internet. Meme away. But that was just, and like it wasn't like a conscious thing for mm-hmm. me. It was right. just like that was just that had been the majority of my experience with women, so I just came to expect it from all of them.
Right,
no
your base
what.
Software
yeah,
at that point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And it was interesting to me because I felt like I had done the majority of that work. Mm-hmm. Years ago, like I spent the vast majority of my 20s trying to fucking figure that shit out mm-hmm. and get a better handle on it. And I think I did a pretty great job, all things considered, if I may pat my own fucking back for a second. But I, it still comes up in weird ways.
It does.
Because when I was starting to get serious with Bethany, mm-hmm. And it wasn't even anything to do with Bethany. She's great, by the way, if anybody's wondering. But
she's great.
Remarkable woman. But I started, like, I've had a lot of female friends all mm-hmm. throughout my life because it's easy for me to connect with girls as long as they're not trying to, you know, slip the knife between the ribs. Mm-hmm. I just have an easy time of it. So I have a lot of female friends. Mm-hmm. And I started telling all of my female friends that are still like involved in my life, you know, from time to time or on a daily basis. I was like, hey, I thought you'd want to know. I started seeing somebody like mm-hmm. seriously. And I just wanted you to know, cause you're my friend and I want you to know what's going on in my yeah, life. And like, I want you to know the score, you know, right. like, so I'm just letting you know.
here's happy. I found a cool.
Yeah. Here's
cool
current lady. Events. And I didn't realize it until I was doing it, that I was fully expecting the vast majority of them to turn on me when I told them that.
Really?
Because I've spent a lot of years of my life just not being in a serious relationship. Yeah. Like a lot of years. It was just not something I was interested in doing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, well, that's the version of me that they've known. So if I all of a sudden am, this is now Shaden in a committed relationship, then they're going to flip out. you know, yeah. or they're going to ditch me, or they're going to like say some weird shit, or they're going to try to undermine me. Like right. that, I went into it with that expectation, and I didn't even realize it until I was in the midst of it. And
they were like, surprising
and
you.
Like, and yeah, and the vast majority of them were like, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, I'm super happy for you. Like, I hope I get to meet her and all this. And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you're my friend. I'm happy for you. Yeah. Like, that's like, I've never seen you be serious about somebody like that. And I fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Good.
I'm still damaged a little bit. Okay.
Good to know.
This is helping me think about it. Though.
Yes. Fuck. Yeah. Yeah. And it is interesting because it does come up. And I think it's just because it's such a concrete part of specifically my psyche that it's mostly past stuff now. It's almost like the version of me pre-you is just a different person than I am now. And although I'm still occupying the same body, my psyche from back then, the majority of it is left back then. And the psyche that I've developed with you is way more functional, way more rational, way more logical, and easier to deal with for people outside of my head, right? So I think, but little things do come up. And I think it's just because I spent so many years of my existence, that person I was isn't completely separate from who I am today.
No, never will be. Nor should
right.
it be.
Right, exactly.
It's part of the lens that you view the world through.
Right.
Still.
So things do come up, but I do have the tools now to analyze my reaction to things, where something will come up and it's almost like, you know, the old me is picked up her sword and she's ready to fight. And this person I am today is like, okay, do we really want to fight? And this other person's like, fuck yeah, we're going in. Let's put your head down and go in.
Shit on me.
Right. And but the other aspect of myself is like, yeah, but let's really take a look here.
Yeah.
Why are we feeling the way we're feeling right now? Yeah. You know,
mental alchemy, baby.
Yeah. What is it that's causing this?
Muffins, insulin.
Back to the food thing. Oftentimes, 9 times out of 10, it is. Yeah. I'm hangry because I've forgotten to eat. Mm-hmm. You know?
You know what my thought is in those moments? This is going to be funny given my moniker on this show, but this is a serious thing. It's deadly serious.
Deadly. Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Whenever I start to feel like I'm bordering on being irrational about something,
mm-hmm.
the one of the first questions that pops up in my mind these days is,
did you poop?
Have I shit today?
Yes. It makes yes. all the difference.
Dude.
Yes, did you poop? You know what it's
I said,
funny.
I'm serious.
Yes. Serious.
You know what's really funny is mine isn't the poop. My first thing is, have you drank enough water?
Yeah. Then poop.
No.
Oh.
And have you eaten?
Oh.
And then it's poop.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my first thing that pops into my head when I find myself being irrational is, am I dehydrated?
Yeah.
Because my brain isn't operating the way it should.
Do I have a headache?
You just made me thirsty. I got to drink.
I know.
Water.
Yeah. I'm
thinking, so typically, water? That's my first instinct is chug some water. It'll change your attitude. And then it's...
I feel way better.
Maybe you should eat something. Grab a piece of string cheese, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, don't take my advice. String cheese, you can't live on string cheese alone. Although I seem to be doing pretty well.
You try to, it seems. Yeah.
Salads, string cheese, and the occasional piece of toast. I'm terrible. But
I'll
anyways...
I'll bring you a steak burrito every once in a while.
But, yeah, I forgot where I was going with that. But anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, so poop. If you're ever feeling a little out of whack, just
force it.
See if you can. Don't force it.
Just push
That's
it.
That's not good for you. But if it needs to come out, let it out.
I will never forget your statement. If your butthole ain't crying,
oh God,
you're not trying.
Dude, I got lit up on the
fucking
socials.
What?
I got memed, dude.
Yeah.
I was sitting.
Did
at
you?
A, I was sitting at a bar with my parents and Bethany in Oregon. And,
this weekend.
Yep, and. I got a notification, my phone vibrated, and I was just like, oh, what is that? So I looked at it, and I saw that I had been, like, tagged or mentioned, like, 12 fucking times, and I was like, what is going on? So I hopped on there, and it was that meme with a quote. It was, like, a Hot Ones picture, and then that quote of, like, if your butthole ain't crying, then you aren't trying.
Oh, because of the spicy food. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, but, like, it was just that quote. And I was, and my dad looked over and he's like, what's that? And I was like, Father, no.
Don't make me explain this to you, sir. I respect you, and I think you still have some respect for me.
There's a lot of context that you really aren't part of, Dad.
He's like, you said that? And I was like, yeah, but in context.
It was about spicy food.
I think I commented on there. I was like, really, of all the wise and
sage
poignant
advice.
Things I've said on Jar, this is what you guys are going to make me go down for.
Butthole crying.
The butthole crying quote.
That's right. Pretty good.
Oh, my God. Right.
That's like one of those that could live on a shirt, and it doesn't matter if you listen to Jar or not.
That was just hilarious.
Just smart shit.
Now when you say the word butthole, my brain goes there. I understand why you got memed.
Yeah.
Because my brain goes there now.
It was a weird thing that just, I didn't have any control over that moment.
It just
hit my frontal cortex and was like, out! Say that now, damn it!
Isn't that weird?
It's beautiful. Weird. It was perfectly timed.
Well, fuck. Speaking of whatever the hell that was,
yeah.
How was your trip, by the way?
It was good, man. Yeah. It was good to see my stepmom and the old man.
How's Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon's good. Still there. Went for a hike up to some waterfalls in a little temperate rainforest near where my folks live, and always loved going up there. Went over to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Spent about a good 45 minutes staring at piles of sea lions because they're so fucking funny. I want a camera. Mm-hmm. I want a camera that has a 24/7 live feed of that dock in Newport, Oregon, that they made for these fuckers to just go and
flop
sun themselves. Mm-hmm. They're funny as shit.
Yeah, they are.
Like, if you that's high quality entertainment. I would never get bored.
Yeah,
I watch that. I would have it on my side monitor 24/7.
They're great.
Just like whenever I'm feeling frustrated with what I'm working on, I just look over and be like,
Shaden, you want to come out? No, I'm on season 87 of Seals.
I'm so glad because I felt that way and nobody understood what I was saying my whole life.
What?
I love watching the sea lions. Seals are different than sea lions,
okay,
although
bad.
They're
both cute little puppies of the sea.
They're both sea puppies, yeah. For sure.
Yes, for sure. But their attitudes towards each other are different.
Oh, my God. They're so funny.
Seals are hilarious.
Yeah.
Sea lions, they're more docile. They're more chill compared to the actual seals themselves. But they're fun. There's nothing like seeing a seal pile,
yeah.
And the occasional fin flipper that goes up in the air because they want to sun their armpit.
Yeah.
It's so fucking cute.
So they're like, hey, Bob, you're ripe, bro. Oh, you're ripe.
I watched one swim up to the dock, and it was packed. There's never any space. They kind of just have to, like...
They pile.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, you know those... The coin game at arcades, mm-hmm. with the little pushy arms,
mm-hmm.
where it's like you push a coin in and then like it gets pushed and some other coins fall off.
Yeah. That's maybe
sea lions. That's sea lions.
That's sea lions. Like one just like hops up on all the dry ones and like gets them all wet and they're like, and he's like, whatever, I need some sun too. And then he just like finds a spot probably on top of another one's head and it's just like, right, here's good.
Yep.
And then like it settles and one other one will just fucking fall off into the water.
Yep. I love them.
I watched on the internet. It was kind of sad, but it was like a physics, and it was a bunch. It was like a pod of killer whales.
Oh, God.
And it was a seal on top of a floaty ice thing, and they would get together and mm-hmm. form a big wave, and then knock it off the wave. And it was just like,
so they could tear it apart. Like
yeah,
cats.
Yeah.
So if the seals are sea puppies, orcas,
or the dog catcher, bro.
No, they're absolutely the cats.
Oh.
They're the ones that play with their food.
Oh.
They're the ones that, you know, they're the absolute cats of the ocean.
They're the sea fuzz.
You just reminded me of a video I watched like a week ago, but I think, Monique, you'll appreciate this because of your affinity for orcas, but they're... it was like this touching little tale about these... juvenile orcas that came up to a dock, mm-hmm. and one of them had a piece of rope in its mouth,
mm-hmm.
and was like showing it to him, and these people on the dock were like, oh, like maybe it's stuck, like we should try to pull it out of there. And mm-hmm. so they grabbed a hold of the rope and it like let it go, like it wasn't stuck, mm-hmm. but then it took it back and it was like acting like, hey, I got to show you something.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay. So they hopped in their boat, followed these orcas,
yeah.
And it led them to their mom that had her tail caught in the rope of a buoy.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, they were like, oh, come save our, you know, help our
mom.
We
need help,
right?
With your human-made rope, yeah.
So, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, this just, is your they fault. Were like, they were smart enough to be like, hey, the humans can know how to fix this. Let's right. go get them. We'll right. bring a piece of rope so they know what's up. Yeah, you know, exactly. I was like, wow, that's cool.
That'd be like but us anyway. Going to aliens and being like, dude, beam me up or something. Yeah. Fix my spleen. Yeah.
Hand them a laptop. Internet, though.
right. yeah. But so this, so they helped the mom out, got her free. Mm-hmm. And they said, so the mom went down and got a devil fish, like caught one, mm-hmm. and brought it aww. To them, like to be like, thank you. You
know? I killed this thing for you.
And then they kind of like swam with the boat back towards the harbor and then took off, you know? And that's I was like, cool. That's such a cool story. But then I went to the comments.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, I was crying laughing because so many people were like, wow, what a cool story. But that devilfish was probably like, the fuck?
like, I'm an extra now.
Like, wait.
Why am I part of this?
I was just hanging out there like, hey, you know, it would be a good thank you if we murder that guy. Yeah. Give it to him.
Why does your devilfish stop like, here? Why?
See, humans do have a lot in common with orcas. Yeah. Let's not be foolish.
We're all fucking monsters to somebody.
We're all earthlings.
And this is this one comment that lives rent-free in my head. It was just like the devilfish in this story. And then it just was the eye emojis with mm-hmm. like the lips, you know.
Oh, I love that.
That is pretty funny. The justice of this world.
I know. You're like, what a touching story. And it's like, yeah, but imagine it from the devilfish's point of view.
Extend your empathy one more step.
Yes,
yep. Dude. Not good. Yeah. Earthlings still hurt. In this.
It's the circle of life.
That's right. Quit being so sensitive. It's just a fucking fish. Oh, I feel bad for the fish. Well, on that note, guys.
And I'm dying over
you're
here.
Dying over there.
Yeah.
I'd say it's time for the ride to come to a close. Should we come to the ending point?
Sure. Our little ride.
Can I talk about one thing really quick?
This is like the kids' roller coaster. Yeah. It just goes around a little bit. A
little bit.
I want to talk about a game.
Oh, you do?
Really quickly.
It's a dumb cunts, though.
It's really quick.
We got to do the intro. Yeah, dumb cunts.
Dumb cunts. Doing dumb cunt things. Doing dumb cunt things. Cause we're all dumb cunts. Nothing ever makes sense. Cause we're all fucked up.
Doing dumb cunt things.
Okay, you got it.
sorry. For our listeners, for those of you out there that loved a game, there is a game that I mentioned a couple of weeks back. It's called Planet Crafter.
Yeah.
And I delved in.
Yeah.
And
I played it a little bit on your Steam Deck.
Yes. If you guys love to craft, if you guys love building and you guys like the grind and you like space and actually like creating and developing up bases and that sort of thing.
You had me at space.
It's a good fucking game, you guys. It really, really is. I've gotten to the point. There's a lot to go still, but I've... I really, really am enjoying it.
Can you shoot a motherfucker in the face?
That's the only thing is you can't shoot an alien in the face.
Is it that hard to put a shooter involved in this shit?
No, of course not. But that's not this kind of game. This is not. There is no combat in this game except for against the environment, your oxygen, your water.
You get a mech walker and it shoots like bubbles
and food.
Like, what the fuck?
So it's health, oxygen, and food.
Give me a machine gun, not basically. Bubble shooter.
And so you have to be able to survive the environment long enough to build yourself a safe space. And then you have to terraform the entire planet to make it livable because, well, the backstory is you're a criminal who's been punished to do this. And so...
rough prison sentence.
In order to... And instead of sitting in prison, you opted to go terraform a planet to make it livable for... the company, for the government.
What would you do?
So too would I.
Right.
Okay. So
you're the only living thing on this planet, period.
You dropping the soap versus being the Martian with fucking Matt Damon?
Fun game. There's a lot left to go. There is a multiplayer option in the game, so you can terraform and play with friends. I haven't done that. But I've just been a solo player. Good game. Great mechanics,
cool.
Wonderful graphics, really smooth, very smart storyline, really very good.
Can't shoot a motherfucker in the face.
No, that's just it. And I did have the conversation with one of our listeners, Aaron, mm-hmm. about Planet Crafter. He's playing mm-hmm. as well. I would love.
Has he figured out how to shoot a motherfucker in the face?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I just know that he's playing.
Aaron's on the level. You can always count on him for gamage.
Yes. Yeah. So he might be fun if he wants to, you know, get together. That would be great. I know we finally connected on Steam Deck, mm-hmm. on the Steam, but I haven't talked to him and we haven't played. So
what's going on? I'll kill him.
I think Aaron and Berserker, mm-hmm. and David have all tried to get me to game several times with them, and I keep being like, I can't, I'm too busy
working,
making entertainment for you.
Well, that's
actually, that's not true. I did get on with David and game once, but it was like my night that week. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm gonna drink gin and play video games, mm-hmm. and I guess I'll do it with David and company.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been talking mad shit about, because like, this is a game that I have hundreds of hours in. It's like one of my favorite games. I just come back to every once in a while. And I was like, dude, I'm so good. I got you guys.
Rust?
I'm going to show you how to do it. No, it's called Don't Starve.
Oh,
yeah. And fantastic game. Always heartbreaking, though. It only ends in you losing.
Like, masochistic game.
Yeah, good. but it's an awesome game, and I'm quite good at it at this point, which I would hope I would be after fucking 300 hours.
Oh, yikes.
But so I'm talking mad shit about how good I am at this game. And then...
Not 600 hours.
By the time I got on with them, I was already very buzzed.
I was like, don't drink in game, Shaden.
Oh, dude,
don't drink in game.
That was my whole intention for the night. That was the mission, and I understood it. But I got we started out okay, and then I just kept like I was like in the moment, and like I was having a good time, and I kept just like every time mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, I need a drink. Oh, there's gin. No, mm-hmm. So
it gets tasty.
I got like wasted while I was gaming with these guys, and I fucking sucked so bad because I was like too drunk to fucking remember all the things you have to remember to, you know, keep track of in the game.
Oh, no.
So I just kept fucking.
So you didn't survive.
No,
you didn't. No. You did starve. You starved, Shaden.
I probably did. I died. I died several times, and then it finally, like the eternally sober part of my brain that mm-hmm. sits in the back and judges me, mm-hmm. no matter how inebriated I get, was like, dude, you're fucking ruining this. And I was like, I am, aren't I? I was like, guys, I think I've long since passed my level of usefulness in this game. I think I'm gonna call it. And they're like, okay, please leave. Goodbye.
And see ya.
They're like, we never asked them to play again. Yeah.
So in a nutshell, anybody wants to play and interested in Planet Crafter, if you're that type of gamer, you love doing those things, it's a very engaging game. It's very difficult to put down. That's the challenge, is finding a spot. I mean,
a lot of these games are designed for you to spend your life in them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you have to figure out.
As about as full of submersion into a game as I've ever been without actually doing VR.
But you can't shoot a motherfucker in the face, so I'm not in.
The thing that I didn't like about it is that it is first person. I'm not a big first person game fan, but this one I've really enjoyed so far.
That's the way I am too. There's most first person games are just kind of all the same. Ever since Doom, I'm like, yeah, they all are the same.
Right.
But every once in a while you get one where it's like, oh no, that's great. Like Skyrim was. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you play first person, even Grand Theft Auto V, when you play first person in that, it's fucking super fun.
Well, No Man's Sky
Cyberpunk
is
No Man's Sky's
first person, or do you have the option to toggle
first
person?
You got third person
off?
Too, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know I looked into...
I played
into...
No Man's Sky first person, though.
Did you?
Yeah.
I looked awesome. Into yeah. No Man's Sky a little bit as
it's
well.
Awesome.
It was like one of the best VR experiences too, surprisingly, because that game wasn't developed as a VR game, but the port is so good. Like
really?
It just makes sense.
That is one of the greatest stories of all time. It's like everybody loved the game, the idea of it, and we're like, we'll give you $1,000 a piece, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make it and they're like, this isn't even done. Boo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden, after years of development, it's exactly what they promised. And it's like,
and not for any extra money either.
Right.
Yeah. I think that will be my next jaunt, next game. I think will be No Man's Sky.
It's got to be one of the greatest games of all time at this point.
So
it definitely has to be.
I will probably delve into that.
It's a really good game.
But it won't be for a while.
Fingers crossed hard for Light No Fire. It's the same studio. It's their new game that they're working on. And it's like, it's all a single world that you're on. but it's like
the whole
according world. To them, it's like the actual size of a world. Like it's tired. Like you could spend hundreds of hours
like, and what's under
never,
this rock?
Never see anything anywhere close to the whole world kind of a deal.
One more little thing. There's a new game that's due to be released in 2025. It's called PAX Day.
PAX-DEI.
And it's brand new. It's God. Another MMO. An RPG MMO. And it's brand new. But due to my connections with other people who, through the YouTube community, who
I'll kill
do
them.
Gaming, I don't have a key, but I'm on a list to potentially be given a key when the alpha testing is released. So I might. They have my information, and they have my key code.
She's making gaming analogies. I was wearing armor. I dropped my sword. Just a gamer now. Like,
I'm
sorry,
not a gamer.
I know that.
I guess I am a gamer.
Yeah, you're a gamer now
for sure.
But I do have. If I'm chosen,
we welcome you.
In this lottery. If I am chosen in this lottery, I can bring 10 other friends on with me to join in the alpha testing period.
Let's scat it up.
Yeah. And it's very. It is very medieval. It's set during the medieval times. And I don't know a lot about it. I did watch a video that was sent to me of actual gameplay, but it's absolutely not finished. But it's very interesting.
Potential's
beautiful.
There.
It looks like a beautiful game. Very Skyrim-esque. Very much so. Cool. Except it's open world, and you're playing with other players. So
cool.
It looks like it might be a lot of fun.
Awesome. That does remind me. We're going to take a little break in June, I think, for just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't done that yet for Jar, just to give ourselves a
finally, the end of season one.
93 episodes in, and the season one is done.
I can make a new folder on our Google Drive.
Isn't that weird? I have so many different seasons going with all the different shows. It's like,
I literally anticipated when we started Just a Ride. I was like, oh, well, we'll have season, like, we'll, you know, we'll take a break
Wrong.
Or shift gears. So I literally, when I set up our cloud storage, I was like, okay, here's a Just a Ride folder. Here's a season one folder. And every fucking week, we're like into episode 80 something, 90 something.
Yep.
I go to upload it and send it to Zach, and I click on season one. I'm like,
season one will come to a close in June.
I've been calling it season two, and I don't know why, because I don't know where it turned into season two.
Nope.
But
if you could point to a moment, I'd be interested.
No
to hear
fucking
it.
Idea.
Maybe it turned into season two when our lovely Jeff had to move to Pierce.
That could be.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That's fair. Well, it does remind me, like, there's a few battle scats in the area that I've been wanting to get on the show for a while.
Yes,
David's one of them for sure. Mm-hmm. There's Scat Warlock and Berserker Kamikaze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so before we take our little break, I'd like to see if we can schedule that and we'll
get
reach
some
out
interviews
to those guys.
In. Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to reach out to people that have been reaching out to me over the last few weeks. Thank you guys for being so patient with all that stuff. There's been cards, and coffee, and a whole bunch of other crap.
Yeah.
But
I've had my head buried in the sand pretty hard, too, the last few weeks.
I think
like,
we
people,
all
people
have been
messaged
just dug
me,
in.
And like a couple of them have been like, hey, dude, are you okay? And I'm just like, I can't.
For 420, I had a phone off Friday on. I'm kind of doing a phone off weekends thing. And I missed the coolest 420 because it was like, hey, let's do a live stream with all of our like generals. They all texted me and I missed it. I was like, oh my God, fucking missed all the fun for 420.
Shit.
I was like, aw. And it was like all it was the entire Trusted Turd tribe. They were like, hey, let's do this thing, and I missed it by days.
Well, you were not taking a break. You just weren't looking at your phone. You were cards hard that weekend.
The only way I can do Scatcast is if I turn my phone off.
Yeah.
Because it is...
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of moving parts and stuff. But thank you. And I mean, I read all the emails that come in. Some of you guys are just the light of my week every week. And, you know, I appreciate the shit out of that. But forgive me for not being great at responding. I wanted to get you guys lots of cards.
Yes.
But, all right, we're at the end of the ride. Let's do the little ending part.
Yes.
Now it's time to end the show, but we'll be back sometime in the future, yo.
Wait, what the fuck am I doing here?
Wrong studio, Dad.
Who the fuck are these folks?
Wrong studio, Dad.
None of you touch my beans.
Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit, it's the ending part.
It's the ending part.
Where are my beans?
Thank you to all the trusted, whether you're the Triad or the Herders or the Battle Scats or our Meme Army, all the folks. And just if you're listening and you don't give a shit about participating in any of that, just your earballs, we appreciate the fuck out of you guys. Send in those emails, justaridepod@gmail.com.
It's just a ride pod.
Yeah. And you can join us on Patreon if you want. There's always bonus stuff there, both on Scatcast and on Jar. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of fun for season one.
Episode 93.
Yeah. And we're going to have fun going into the season two. But yeah, so we'll take a break in June. Once Dipshit Files comes back around, we'll probably take a break here at Jar just for a little bit. Like, I don't think, just 3 weeks or something.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. And I'm not going to take a break, and Shaden won't take a break, so he'll fill
it. That's what I said
whatever.
When we floated the idea. I was like, oh yeah, nice little break, come back refreshed. Not, like, I'm going to fill that time with some other shit.
Exactly.
You're going to edit the fuck out of BBC
more.
It's
like the Dipshit Files is on a break, and all I'm doing on the days, I'm just compiling.
Working your balls off.
I'm compiling more information and researching more. It's not like I'm taking a break. It's just that we're not recording.
I think it gives you guys a break from us.
Yes.
I mean, come on. 93 consecutive episodes. I think we took 1 week off in there on accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's been
And we were stressed
existence.
Out about it too, as I recall. We're like, oh, fuck.
It is a weird mentality that goes into this when you do it weekly. We're very patternistic creatures.
Yeah.
And I love being a part of
Don't break the pattern, yo.
I like having this conversation with you guys. It's been a blast. Like, we can kind of look back at this when we're older and be like, we talked a bunch of shit to the world, didn't we?
I can look back and be like, whoa, look at me in my, middle age.
Yeah.
I don't think like that at all anymore.
I still like beans.
I still don't have any eyebrows.
Well, Holy shit, there was a period in my life where I didn't resent women. That's wild.
Hey-o.
Hey.
All right. Well, I think that's the end of the ride. If you guys are part of the Patreon, we've got a bonus thing coming up here. You can go visit there. There's a bunch of tiers for you to enjoy.
Yeah, not the ones you cry.
No.
The ones you climb.
It's the one with the I before E, which is such a stupid rule because it fucks you at so much. There's so many words that
it's not
are
even
E
a rule,
before
you
I.
You just got it memorized.
Dumb. We're dumb. All right. Well, thank you guys. As always, we'll talk at you in the future.
It'll seem like a present.
Bye.
It's a present.
It's just a ride. Whoa, it's just a ride.
Bing.
Oh, bong.
Poopies.
Oh, God, don't hurt yourself.
Poopies.
He's hurting himself. Don't do it.
Ooh, that last one.